The message you are about to hear is a message you have never heard before. At any time, any place, in any church, not even on the street or at a family get-together, nor in a court of law. Yet, it involves violence, murder, lying, cheating, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and any other bloodthirsty deed man is capable of doing. Stand by. I've titled my message, Sucker Punched by Satan. Sucker Punched by Satan. Let us pray before we get into this important message. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I thank you for these words you've given me to utter. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me wisdom, that my utterance, Lord, would make the people understand, Lord, what thou hast laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that their hearts would be open to it. I pray their ears, Lord, would be unstopped. And I pray, Lord, once they've heard it, Lord, that they'll hold it in their heart. And they'll realize, Lord, their need not only to come to thee if they don't know thee already, but to trust fully in thee, to believe and to obey. Thank you, Lord. May thou be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Did you know that every morning when you crawl out of bed, the greatest prize fighter the world has ever known is waiting to knock your block off? To knock your block off. To knock you off your feet again. Waiting to knock your spiritual block off. I'm taking liberty with the word block. It indicates, of course, your head, your mind, your comprehension, the whole bit. Waiting to ruin your day to the uttermost. Now, doesn't this sound like an enticing sermon starting right off? Aren't you glad you tuned in? Aren't you just dying to hear what's coming next? Oh, there he goes again. He has nothing good to say about anybody at any time. All he does is pick on people, put down churches, put down Bibles. Yes, there he goes. But before I go, there goeth one before me. That one is the Lord Jesus. So please bear with me. I urge you to. Now, when I say knock your block off, you think right away, well, boxing, fighting, whatever. No, I'm not talking about George Foreman or Muhammad Ali. Whom I'm talking about is someone you're very close to. Someone who is with you throughout your daily routine. At the coffee shop, at work, at the gym, at the local bar, at the movies, and at your local houses of ill repute, of course. He's in your face every day, and yet you can't see or hear him. He runs your entire life, from the moment you wake up till the moment you black out. And even then, he gets inside your head. You see, the heart's only about a foot away from the head, or 18 inches. So what goes in your head, if you don't give it some consideration, could end up in your heart too, where you lose all track of consideration. The question is, when the day comes, and it will you be prepared to go toe to toe with him? Him? Now you know who him is, the evil one, the devil. Or will you crumble like a wet rag or a year-old Oreo cookie? Up to now, he's been like a friend to you, right? Or at least, you may think he is. But there's something you forgot. You owe him. You owe him big time. He doesn't want your money, though. You can't go to the bank, get a loan, and pay him off. He has his own method of collecting the dues and his own way of doing it. He doesn't want your house, your job, or your car. What he does want is your soul. And the only way he can have it is if you keep on living the life he wants you to. Don't change a thing. Just keep on keeping on. That's easy enough to do, isn't it? You may have gathered by now, as I alluded to, I'm talking about that old enemy, Satan, the devil. You see, the moment you enter this world, you already have his stamp of approval upon you. That came to pass when sin entered in the Garden of Eden. But until you're old enough to tell the difference between God, or pardon me, well, same thing, between good and evil, until you're old enough, he can't have you. But once you cross that line, that thin line, to accountability, that's when he comes a-hunting. Oh, yeah. And unless you have received Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sinful ways, then he moves in with his infamous sucker punch. He's got you. The only protection you have is found in the Bible, according to Ephesians 6:11. It's called the whole armor of God. Wow. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." There's your answer. There's your answer. There's the only weapon you have. The only weapon you have against the greatest enemy you will ever meet. Toe to toe. Heart to heart. Mind to mind. The whole armor of God. I know what you're feeling. I do. When I first gave my life to Christ, he warned me to never leave home without it. And sure enough, there it is in Ephesians, God's answer to Satan's sucker punch. You see, the way you begin your day could determine the way you end your day. If you're in Christ, you need his armor. And the reason why is found in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, which reads, "Because our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Have for lunch. Munch on. And what better time to give you that sucker punch than when you first rise up in the morning and you're still groggy and without direction, staggering from bed to bathroom, yawning and scratching and looking in the mirror and seeing a reasonable facsimile of what you don't want to see. Yes, that's the title of my message, Sucker Punch. And your opponent, well, as you will know, if you don't already know, he ain't no pushover. You see, if you stand toe-to-toe with Satan without God's full armor, then you're in total spiritual jeopardy. Total spiritual jeopardy. Because you belong to Christ, the devil can't own you. Isn't that comforting? But what he can do is to make you incompetent as a witness for Christ. Instead of going door to door, knocking on doors, instead of handing out tracts, instead of preaching the word, instead of being good to your neighbor, well, you'll just go on your merry way, as you have before. Once he gives you that sucker punch and hands you over to his demonic sidekicks, yuck, what a word, your day as spokesman for Jesus Christ is pretty much over before it even begins. Your day may be compared to Psalm 22, verses 12 to 15. Listen carefully. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Wow. What words. In Proverbs 28, verse 14, we read, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. If you harden your heart, you'll fall into mischief. Something to bear in mind. When it comes to that old devil, we must never let our guard down, or he'll sucker punch us and cause us to be of none effect, not to be able to function as a Christian, to do the Lord's will. He knows that he can't have us, but he also knows that his time is short. And if he and his demonic misfits can get us daydreaming, then we won't be much good to God or ourselves. What a terrible feeling it must be. Belong to God, yet working for the devil. Is it possible? Yeah. It is. Satan uses many different angles when he attacks God's children, some of which I myself even used in the military. For example, when we were about to form a line of attack against the enemy, one thing we usually did was to lay down a smokescreen. Why? To confuse the enemy, so they couldn't see us, where we were coming from. Of course, we couldn't see where they were coming from either. I always wondered about that. And also to prevent them, like I just said, from seeing us till we were face to face. Ugh. In much the same manner, Satan and his smoke screens. That's how it works. However, unlike real smoke, Satan in his cunning is able to blind our way to God and obstruct our view of Calvary. Such confusion is imperative to the devil, because when we show any measure of doubt, that's when he sends his demonic hordes to cultivate our thoughts, to cultivate them in his way of thinking. You see, an idle mind gathers perverse thinkings. Did I just make that up? Where did I get that? Oh, never mind. Anyway, also, like it is in the military, the devil uses numerology. Ooh, really? What I mean is having us to actually believe that we're outnumbered. Not only by his invisible brigades, but far more effectively by the company we keep in this trending world we live in. When we are weak in the faith, then we are our own greatest enemy. When we are weak in the faith, then we are our own greatest enemy. Oh, yeah. Things like, well, the clothes we wear, simply because they're in fashion. Simply because they're in fashion, and not because we particularly like them. Look at some of the hairdos they have, spiked hair. Spiked hair. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we had what they call a DA. We would comb our hair to the back. But it looked nice and groomy. But spiked hair. And you see, a few of them sneaking into the church now, too, nowadays. Young people especially, trying to spike their hair and get away with it. How many today, and especially their children, have little or no difficulty wearing what the world trend dictates, whether it be miniskirts or baggy hip huggers, not to mention the onslaught of body piercings and trashy tattoos that are a forerunner to the mark of the beast? Yes, they are. The main difference between Jesus Christ and Satan, with all due respect to the former, is that the devil whispers in your ear while God talks to your heart. You see, you can have misgivings when someone is whispering in your ear, but when someone's talking to your heart, that's where it hits home. Another twisted similarity of Satan and our military is the instinct to destroy, to kill anyone or anything that gets in your way. I know this was my attitude when I was a soldier. Kill or be killed. Whoa. To Hitler, the Jews were his enemy. Led by Satan, his plan was to rid the planet, first of all Jews, and then build his superior race. I mean, talk about nuts! What a nutcracker he is! Oh, man. Then we come to the Holy Bible. Glad we are. God's preserved word. You got that? God's preserved word. Not God's word tampered with, of none effect now, out of style, you know. Oh, God's preserved word. God preserved his word like he preserves everything else. God's preserved word. Satan tried desperately to destroy it. Oh, yeah. But when he saw that the power of God's word was too great to overcome, he realized it was the sword he could not remove from the Christian's grasp. So, instead of meeting defeat and knowing the fickle heart of mankind, Satan went on the rampage, producing a multitude of tainted Bibles. A multitude of tainted Bibles. Last count, as close as I can get, was over 400. All different. All proclaiming to be the Word of God. Give me a break. These new Bibles are designed to give the people more freedom from the commands of scriptural bondage. Yes. Satan finally got the upper hand and began flooding the market with hundreds of corrupt, watered-down versions of God's word. Talk about a sucker punch there! The King James out of Antioch tells us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, Satan couldn't handle that. He's some smooth operator. That old devil, I'll tell you, he's some smooth operator. If he can't have you for himself, he doesn't want Jesus to have you either. His favorite method is to lead you to lead you onward, enticed by a prize you cannot resist. It could be money, it could be a new car, even a new lifestyle, but in the end, all he wants in return is your soul. Because if he has your soul, then he's won a victory against the cross. Once he has your soul, he'll give you a one-way ticket to hell. That's what he'll give you in return. This is his final sucker punch. Have you put on the full armor of God yet? Do you have the only protection that will save you? Christ came not with guns and missiles and tanks to save you. No, he came as the only begotten of the Father. His mission, not only to save you from the wrath to come, but to save you from the eternal flames of hell. He didn't come with a fire department, no. He didn't come with short-lived, empty promises, no. He didn't come as a sacrificial lamb of the living God and open not his mouth as he was to lead, as he led us to the slaughter, enduring the agony of the cross. He stepped into the breach for all mankind, offering up himself as a propitiation, paying the ransom to set us free from the shackles of sin. He is God incarnate. He walked among us, and we esteemed him not. In conclusion, we all know that sin entered in when that old devil Lucifer was cast out of heaven down to earth. If you didn't know that, well, you know it now. And when God populated the earth, he gave us free will. Now, he could have been a dictator and said, you're not going to sin, because I'll not have it. I'll not stand for it. Then he had a world full of robots who wouldn't know how to love them or wouldn't need him for anything. So he gave us free will. And it's up to us if we want to sin or not. Personally, I'd rather love God than sin anymore. Although this old flesh sometimes is weak. But at least my soul is saved because of the cross. Because of Jesus Christ and his obedience to God Almighty the Father. So I'm not concerned if I trip from time to time. Because he picks me up again and puts me on the path that leads me to glory. He gave us free will. It became man's choice to believe and trust in God, or to fall for the temporary joys of the flesh that Satan has to offer. That's all they are. They're temporary. He'll do something good for you today, give you a good time, give you a big party, lots of fun. Tomorrow he won't even look at you sideways. What are you going to do? Punch him in the mouth. I guess you know what man did then, huh? And because of the great sin that entered in, God loved the world so much, he sent us a Redeemer in the name of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Since people found out, since they discovered that Christ died for the sin of the whole world, they began to naturally assume that all their sins were forgiven and that heaven was a gimme. They didn't bother about the ifs of the Bible. If you believe, if you repent, if you give your life to Christ. There were just too many ifs in the Bible. People don't like it. Ifs. Too bad. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't, you're going to hell. And take all the ifs with you. So what did Satan do We're almost at the end here. So what did Satan do? He called a meeting of the executive and mapped out a plan. The answer, if people don't like God telling them what to do, then we'll give them a Bible that makes them feel good. And we'll keep on giving them Bibles, one for every way of thinking, if that's what it takes, and for every lifestyle. So they'll be happy thinking they have the Word of God, but yet they're serving me. He ain't no dummy. At last count, like I said, there's over 400 versions of the Bible in today's churches. Is that confusing? Well, I say so. My question to you people is this. Do you own a Bible that agrees with your lifestyle? If you do, then you've just been sucker punched by the devil. You have. You see, God only wrote one Bible. Take your Bible and open it to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Don't have to do it now. You can do it when you're finished. I'm almost done. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Is this what you read? This is what you read, actually. But is this what you read? There is a difference. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If your Bible doesn't say this exactly, then you have been sucker punched by the devil. God have mercy on your soul. Amen.